أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح.
أن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه، ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. عباد الله، أذكركم ونفسي بتقوى الله، فإن الله تبارك وتعالى يذكرنا بذلك فيقول بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send our peace and blessings upon our noble Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. I remind myself and yourselves on this dear and holy day of Yawm al-Jumu'ah to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fear Allah in the way we live, to fear Allah in the way we speak, to fear Allah in the way we act, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us to be conscientious of this at all times, when he said, in the translation of the meaning of the verse in the Holy Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, O you who believe, fear Allah the way He should be feared, and do not die except in the state of submission to Him. We ask Allah to die in this state. We ask Allah to be resurrected in the state of Iman, and with the last words in this world being La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Brothers and sisters, It is not hidden from us the types of times that we live in today. Times where things are being challenged that never have been challenged in the history of mankind. Where morality itself is being questioned. Where Muslims are killing Muslims, and fitna is spread amongst all of humanity, where people see what is wrong being done before their eyes, yet do not speak or lift a tongue about it, because it became the norm that we live in. Times where people who we see as intelligent say the most unintelligent things, and people with the highest of education do not see the most basic truths of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. These times are the times of fitna. Fitna, my beloved brothers and sisters, has many meanings. Fitna defines as tests or trials or tribulations. It can also mean things that instill doubts in our faith. It can also mean the switching of right, wrong, and wrong into right. It can also mean when truth is seen as false and fallacy is seen as truth. All these are definitions of fitna. Fitna, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, is something that our Prophet and Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam constantly reminded the Sahaba about in his khutab, in his durus, in his private talks. Even when he reminded individual Sahaba by themselves, he would always talk about fitna and how these times of trials and tribulations would come and what it would do with people. Today, inshallah ta'ala, I will remind myself and yourselves about some of these ayat and ahadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about fitna. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informs us of the types of tests and trials that will come in the future before the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ankabut, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will be left alone to say that we believe without being tested, without going through trials? Absolutely not. So we have to understand that trials and tests are the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way Allah sorts those who are truthful with their faith and those who are untruthful, those who are honest and those who are dishonest, those who are putting up a front, those who are faking it to the public but they cannot fake it to Allah, those who are between the Muslims, say they're from the Muslims, act as if they're from the Muslims, but are truly not from amongst them because they carry animosity and hatred towards Islam and the Muslimin, despite what they show with their faces and with their gestures and with their actions and with the false speeches that they always speak. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from mudillat al-fitan, from the misguidance of these tests and trials and tribulations. In times of fitna, there are large fitnas and there are small fitnas. Some fitan that are large, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed us of. He said, like the Masih al-Dajjal, like Ya'juj and Ma'juj, like the sun coming up from the west, like oppression being widespread in the earth until there is almost no justice being seen. When someone looks for justice, they cannot find it. These are big fitan that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned us against. And there are small fitan as well. And I will mention a few types as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reminded us of them. These fitan, brothers and sisters, they make the mind spin. These fitan, these tests, these trials, they make the most intelligent of people confused. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the companions that asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most about the fitan. Everyone would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the good. Ya Rasulullah, how far will Islam spread? Ya Rasulullah, will the people of Rome believe? Ya Rasulullah, will the people of Persia enter Islam? They would ask about the good things, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give them the glad tidings that Islam will spread till there. Mind you, Islam was only in Medina at this time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give them the glad tidings. But Hudhayfa, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about fitna all the time. So he's aware of it. He said, radiallahu anhu, there's nothing that is more intoxicating and nothing that will take the mind of men more than alcohol except for fitna. Fitna would make people with the most intelligence, the smartest people, would make them act in the most foolish and ignorant ways because it's fitna. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, said the day of judgment will not come. And listen to these small fitan that are huge in reality. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the day of judgment will not come until, number one, knowledge is uplifted. Knowledge is uplifted. And wallahi, ikhwan, this first one, we see with the spread of like social media, modern technology in general, people are becoming very complacent and lazy and comfortable. We have so much information that we stop knowing how to process it properly. The usul of ilm, the foundations that we used to have to learn before adding any information on top, those are they're disappearing slowly. So we have people with a lot of information, but without knowledge. Because knowledge is attained through a certain process. And that process is disappearing. That process is disappearing because people are being exposed to information they are incapable of comprehending at that level of theirs. And this is why knowledge itself is being uplifted in our time. The Prophet ﷺ then said, and earthquakes will be prevalent. Earthquakes will be prevalent. And wallahi, it's so alarming. Wallahi, when you read these hadith and you look at, you know, like seismic activity and earthquakes and the prevalence of earthquakes in our time, they say there's no time that had more earthquakes than this. You say every year earthquakes are increasing all over the world, small and large. We might hear of the large ones, but small ones, there are so many, ya ikhwan. Number three, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, time will be closer to each other, different times, meaning things that used to take a long time will not take that much time. See the growth of technology? The speed of communication, how fast humanity developed in the past 40, 50 years, probably more than the 100 or 200, 300, 400 years before that. Time is becoming closer. Then he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, and the spread of killing, and the spread of killing, he said it two times. People will randomly, you'll open the news like we do today. 50 people died in this country. 100 people died. These people are in concentration camps. These people, this many people disappear. We don't know what happens to them. Every piece of news, wallahi, there is not a day that you open the news except that you find that there's unjust killing going on. There's not a single day. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and the wealth will overflow. The wealth will overflow. And I want everyone to think of this. Ya ikhwan, every time in history, wealth was always pinned to goods, to merchandise, to resources, to gold and silver primarily. But in our times, wealth, it overflowed because it's no longer pinned down to gold and silver. And in recent times, it's just a digital code. It's an encryption. It's something we cannot even physically see or touch, but it's considered wealth. And perhaps who we consider the wealthiest of people are people who never seen currency, people who never seen gold and silver, people who never seen this wealth physically. It's not like they were Qarun, they had keys and huge rooms filled with all types of goods that are valuable. No. Just some codes. So the Prophet ﷺ informed us of how wealth will overflow in the ends of times, in the times of fitna. Fitna, brothers and sisters, it makes us see things differently. As a matter of fact, the way we look at things change during tests, trials, and tribulations. People who we thought were honest and trustworthy, they look dishonest and untrustworthy. People who we thought were modest are not. People who we thought are good are not. People keep changing. Everything changes. This flipping and turning is fitna. Fitna can also mean punishment of believers, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Those who punish the believers, the believing men and women. Fitna can also mean tests that Allah puts in front of a person so that he can make them better. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Musa alayhi salam. He said, وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَ. And we tested you, and you passed your tests, right? We increased in tests. Why? So he can become who he became. Fitna can also mean shirk. Fitna can also mean what exits a person from the deen. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قال وَإِن كَادُوا لَيَفْتِنُوكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. And so the fitna is these disbelievers trying to get us away from our deen, trying to turn and flip things, trying to cast doubts in our faith, in our minds, trying to make us see what's red as blue and what's blue as red, convince us with all types of rational, logical, whatever types of arguments, using any method they can, just to make us see our deen as wrong and to instill doubts in us. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said the times of fitan will come. And in these times, he told us, the sitting will be better than the standing. And the standing will be better than the walking. And the walking will be better than the one who's riding. What does this mean? Meaning the less involved you are in these tests, the less we are involved in these trials and tribulations, the less we engage in them and speak about them and talk and put our opinion out and make sure everybody heard our opinion and make sure there's not a single gathering that doesn't know what my opinion is about this person and about this subject matter and about what's happening in this masjid and about what's happening with this organization and what's happening with this country's foreign policy and what's happening with this king or this president or this dictator or whatever it may be. Just throwing their opinions. No, no, no. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who's sitting, the one whose mouth is sealed, that one is better than the one who's standing. Of course, unless truth is being said. Unless truth, and what we say, when we say truth, we mean truth that can change things to the better. Spreading awareness. Not just talking pointlessly, without any agenda, without any forecasted benefit from what we are talking about or what we are engaging in. Tests can be in good and bad times, right? وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Allah tests us with good and bad things. So it's not necessarily bad. Sometimes Allah gives us comfort, lavish, big houses, nice cars, good education, good salaries. Allah gives us good health, comfortable lives, good, mashallah, spouses. Why? Because Allah wants to see if we are thankful to Him. That is also a fitna. As a matter of fact, some Sahabis considered the fitna of comfort, the fitna of health, the fitna of wealth, the fitna of prosperity, they considered that even more severe than the fitna of poverty and the fitna of hardship and the fitna of sickness. Why? They said because there's only one thing you can do when you're sick. Be patient and go back to Allah. When you're poor, be patient, go back to Allah. When you're in need, be patient, go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, when we're in prosperity, wealth, health, we can easily turn into heedless animals that forget what Allah bestowed upon us from bounties, from ni'am, from khair. We can easily wake up one morning and say to ourselves, you know, I got this for myself. Look at this person, he's not doing as good as me. That's because he's not as smart. No, it's Allah that gives. It's Allah that takes. It's Allah that provides. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, in these times of fitan, when people turn heedless very easily, he said, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٍ. He said that in the times of fitna, he said a person would wake up as a believer and go to sleep at night as a disbeliever. They wake up, Allah asbahna wa asbah al mulku lillah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I believe it. By the end of the day, by the time they mix with the evil companionship, by the time they go to their toxic workplaces, or by the time they look at the stocks and they look at their wealth and they count their money and they forget every bounty that Allah bestowed upon them, by the time they get to the evening time, by the time it's time to go to sleep, the person had disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty and disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely perhaps. And this is why he said, person can wake up as a believer and sleep as a disbeliever. Right? Or sleep as a disbeliever and wake up as a believer. Subhanallah. And then he said, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٍ. The religion, it's the easiest thing to let go of. Right? MashaAllah, the person, the front row, never leaves the Allahu Akbar, Fajr, Isha, always in Jama'ah. Reads the Quran. Time. Why? There's jobless. There's no work. There's no wealth. But the moment Allah sends the person bounty, the moment Allah looks at the heart and the sincerity and the genuineness of this person and says, I will bless this person. I will give this person. And Allah bestows His rizq on this person. What happens? It's only a matter of time before the person forgets this position they were in. Forget how sincere they were to Allah when they were making dua. They forget how they had no rizq and Allah provided. How they had no wealth and Allah provided. How their health was bad and Allah gave them good health. How Allah brought this person to His house, made him connect to Him, connected him to His book, the Holy Quran. And then the moment they get something from Allah, that's it, it's finished. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. The deen is only pacification until the dunya comes. And this is why Muslims are slowly turning into what? We're falling into what the Yahud and the Nasara fell in. You go to the Christian gatherings, you know, these big summer, you find 50, 60,000 people. And all they're talking about is hope and mercy in God and salvation and how they could do whatever they want to do and Jesus is going to take them to paradise. You know, so long as you believe in Jesus, you're good, man. And Muslims are slowly turning into that. They go to somebody that reminds them of the test Allah is going to put them through. They remind them of Jahannam that Allah prepared. For who? For those who disobey and those who disbelieve and those who disregard. They don't want to be reminded of that. No, we don't want that. Why? Because it's real. They don't want reality. They want to live in this spiritual la-la land. And this is one of the greatest fitan of our time. And unfortunately, we will follow this because Rasulullah SAW told us, you will follow the ways of the people before you, shibran bi shibr, dhira'an bi dhira'. You will continue to follow their path. And you will continue to become heedless. Until what? حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍ دَخَلْتُمُوهُ. Even if they enter a ditch, you will enter after them. Whatever they do, you're going to do. SubhanAllah. And that's why we find brothers and sisters, they come over. Oh, you know, wallahi, everyone's making money this way, so I have to do it. It's just the way to do it. I know it's haram, but you know, yeah, there is somebody that says it's okay, so yeah, it makes me feel better. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, if you believed something was haram and then you believed it's halal, know that you are subject to fitna. That's what he said. If there is something you believed and you were sure with evidence is haram and then it somehow turned into halal in your life, you don't know how it did, there's no proof and evidence to support it, it's just you kind of got easy with it. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, then know you are subject to this fitna. And that's why brothers and sisters, they go to school, they go to college, they come, oh wallahi, and the sister's like, I love this boy, and the brother's like, you know, I fell in love with this girl, and khalas, I want to do, and everybody's doing it, and why not, and what about love? And the sister's like, yeah, he's not Muslim, but still, you know, love, it's above the deen. What happened to these people? It's because the deen became secondary. The deen is pacification. It's not a reality. It's not something we're willing to sacrifice for anymore. It's not something we're willing to put our lives, willing to put our wealth, willing to put our health, willing to put everything, our time, for. Like the Sahaba did. When the deen becomes something on the side, that's it, it's finished. It's over. When the moment a person loses their faith, when they fall in love with someone, or they find a haram job, or when they come to, you know, everything's happy, and the brothers, mashallah, they all love each other, and things are good. And the moment somebody throws a seed of fitna, the moment somebody casts a doubt, the moment somebody speaks ill or gossip, you find these people who are pacified by this deen jumping on this fitna, gossiping. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. They say, they speak, yeah, this person, man, I was, subhanAllah, one day they're hugging the person, man, I love this brother, mashallah, so great. The next day, somebody has that, you know, I really have a doubt about this person. The day after, yeah, man, I never liked them anyway. You ever seen that before? That is so sad. That is selling the deen for the smallest offer of this dunya, wallah. Deen, my brothers and sisters, and I'll end the first khutbah with this, deen is when the times of tribulation come. That's when the deen really shows. Times of comfort, times of ease, times everybody's happy, everything's just, no. It's good. Alhamdulillah, that's something we thank Allah for. But when fitna comes, when trials come, when tribulations befall us, that's when the deen matters. That's when religion is tested, or deen is tested, and we see who is truthful and who is untruthful. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. We tested those who came before you. We will know, Allah is saying, we will know the ones who are truthful, and we will know the ones who are lying. Not to Allah. Nobody can lie to Allah, but they only lie to themselves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and to make us truthful. أقول ما سمعتم وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، اتقوا الله. Let's fear Allah, brothers and sisters. Let's fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before a day comes where the only thing that will help us is the sidq in our heart, the truthfulness, the iman that laid deep in the heart, the unwavering certainty, the yaqeen that we had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what would help. Brothers and sisters, after speaking about fitan, and after speaking about and mentioning some of the ayat and the ahadith that mention fitan, it's important for us to not leave this khutbah without giving some pieces of advice regarding fitna and how a Muslim should react to it, how a Muslim should be in times of fitna. The number one piece of advice, or the number one way to protect ourselves from fitna during times of fitna, is to not expose ourselves to it. Meaning, if we see people engaging in a fitna, there's something that happened between two brothers, two sisters, two families, inside a masjid, inside a country, amongst the Muslims, in one of the Muslim groups around the world, and it's clearly a fitna, and people are confused, and we don't have that much information about it, let's not jump into it and expose ourselves to it and be part of it. We have to abstain, because the Prophet ﷺ said in a dangerous hadith, he said, من استشرفها أشرفته. He said, fitna, said, من استشرفها أشرفته. He said, whoever exposes themselves to it, whoever wants, like, oh yeah, what's going on here? Yeah, let's talk about it. What's the problem? Yeah, let's engage. And they share their opinion, they give and take, and they make judgments on people based on, without any evidence. Whoever puts themselves in front of it, the fitna will touch their heart. The fitna, the test, the trials, the tribulations will affect them. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, for example, in the fitna of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, said, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. Right? He said, when the mu'mineen heard about the fitna of Aisha, people accusing Aisha radiallahu anha of whatever they accused her of, the believers, the first thing they said, no, this is buhtan. We're not going to talk about it. That's it. هذا بهتان عظيم. Let's not speak. Allah will reveal something. Oh, we'll just keep it the way it is. Eventually the truth will show. So we do not expose ourselves to fitna. Number two, we do righteous deeds. We do righteous deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم. He said, do good deeds before fitna comes to you that is darker than the darkest night. When you look at the sky at night, he said the fitna will be like the darkness. You see the small stars? Yeah, that will be the no fitna. But the majority will be fitna. So the Prophet ﷺ said, بادروا بالأعمال. He said, do as many good deeds as you can before the fitna comes, like the darkness of the night. And the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, he said, ahead of you are days of endurance. Ahead of you are days of endurance. The person who is grabbing on their deen in these days is like the one who is holding on to a live coal. A piece of coal that's lit, that's burning. Imagine a piece of coal burning through your hand. That is how hard it will be to hold on to your deen completely. Imagine. But guess what? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the one who acts rightly, and wallahi, this is so important, brothers. He said, the one who acts rightly during these times gets the ajr of 50 people outside of this fitna. So acting rightly and doing good during times of fitna, you get 50 times the reward of acting and doing right in times of ease and in times of no fitna. Number three is give advice. You see someone talking, don't just stay silent. As-sakitu anil haqqi ka shaytanin akhras. The one who is silent from the truth is like a mute shaytan. You see your brothers, you see your sisters talking unjustly, unrightly, mentioning the bad of the brothers or sisters, or misinterpreting or making false assumptions. While you're sitting with them, you give advice. You're like, no, guys, brothers, no, sisters, let's chill. Let's not talk about this. You know what? Like, when I'm here, please, I can't take it. Let's not talk about this. Let's avoid it. Give advice. That's number three. Number four, not to speak gossip, slander, or backbite. Not to take sides. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminded us of this in Surah Al-Hujurat when He said, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and do not backbite each other. And He compared it to biting the flesh of your brother and not liking it. Biting into the flesh of your brother and not liking it. Number five is to be fair and to be just, even if you don't like a certain people, even if they wronged you, even if they did bad to you, even if they said what they said about you, what you have to be is fair and just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Do not let your hatred for a people affect your fairness and justice with them. اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Be just, be fair, it is closer to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, we go back to the Qur'an and to the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I left in you two things that if you hold on to them, you will never go astray. The book of Allah and my sunnah. The book of Allah and my sunnah. In times of fitna, we should cling to the book of Allah, seek guidance in the book of Allah, read it, reflect on it, try to understand it, pick up a book of tafsir. See what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did in similar times. If you are struggling with a particular trial, you know it's hard on you. Find it in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, you will find guidance. Wallahi, it will touch your heart. It will change you. The only reason something can be affecting you is because of your distance from the Qur'an and the sunnah. The moment you go back to it, you're no longer going to have problems with that relationship or problems with that haram source of money or problems with that bad companionship. All these things are going to disappear the moment that you go back to the Qur'an and to the sunnah. Because in it you'll find guidance. The Prophet ﷺ said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Take by my sunnah and the sunnah of the righteously guided caliphs after me, the khulafa, the four khulafa after him. عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. He said, look at this. He said, bite on it with your molar teeth. The Prophet ﷺ, he could have just said, bite on it. He could have just said, hold on to it. He said, bite on it with your molar teeth. Isn't it awkward to bite on something with your molar teeth? He said, no matter how awkward the sunnah is going to look, no matter how weird you're going to be in this society that doesn't cling to the Qur'an and the sunnah, by clinging on it with your molar teeth, don't worry how weird you look. عُضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذ. Just bite on it. Even the Prophet ﷺ said, حَتَّى أَنْ تَعُضَّ بِأَصْلِ شَجَرَ حَتَّى يُدْرِكَكَ الْمَوْتُ وَأَنْتَ كَذَلِكَ. Even if you had to bite on a tree and stay there until you die, it's better than going into that fitna. Imagine that, brothers. Imagine that, sisters. Biting on a tree until we die is better than falling into these trials and tribulations. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be from those who go back to the Qur'an and the sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who give advice in times of fitna. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who don't move a tongue in slander, in gossip, in backbiting. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tongues that only speak the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us righteous companions that give sincere advice to their brothers and sisters in Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who do righteous deeds. عباد الله إني داع فأمنوا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم اجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم اغفر لنا هزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا وكل ذلك عندنا يا رب العالمين اللهم حرر أقصانا اللهم حرر أقصانا وعاف مبتلانا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم اغفر لنا هزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا وكل ذلك عندنا عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروا على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استوى اعتدلوا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Just a couple of quick announcements, inshallah ta'ala. First, I'd like to apologize for taking long in the khutbah. It clearly wasn't a COVID khutbah, right? We're getting too comfortable inside of COVID, right? But inshallah ta'ala, we all benefited. Inshallah, I just wanted to quickly announce two things. Today, the tarbiyah program for children is going to begin 6 to 8 p.m. as usual. So today, 6 o'clock, if your child is registered for the tarbiyah program, please do bring them, inshallah ta'ala, as today is going to be the first after our long winter break. Number two, tonight we got the Friday Fusion for the older brothers and sisters, inshallah, and the FNL for the sisters. Do come. We have Sheikh Siraj Wahaj coming and Dr. Yasser. They're both going to come and do a special program for us tonight, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. So please do make it, inshallah ta'ala, and let those who don't know about it. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.